Where have all the leaders gone? My next guest provides the answer. It's a timely new book setting out to help answer this question, revealing what 12 trailblazing leaders have in common to inspire millions of people, and that's you and me. That's what we care about. Tony Wrubleski in the house. This book is out, Trailblazers, .. Good morning to you, Tony.
Hey, good to see you again.
Good that you are back in, a West Michigander, and certainly a mover and a shaker, a motivational speaker. We'll talk more. President of Mind Capture Group, imagine pays some of the bills to boot. So congratulations. Things are good in your working life.
Yes, very, very busy, grateful. I've been on a couple times here, and I will say this right away. Out of all the interviews I do, you are one of the more memorable and fun, Shelley. Maybe it's a West Michigan thing, but you've always been gracious. I appreciate it. I've been a very good local group, a lot of home audience from chambers of commerce, media that have always supported me. So it's good to be back.
Good. You inspire, entertain, and inform, so you meet our mission too. Well, and you have certainly some information to get out that I know a person will take notes on. So here we go. Your new book, Trailblazers, Leadership Lessons from 12 Pioneers Who Beat the Odds and Influence Millions. Why this topic for you, Tony?
Well, that's a great question. I think, if anything, I have this huge curiosity to learn constantly. And I've been fortunate now the last 10 years to interview about 125 what I call trailblazers. Men, women from sports, business, academia, to religious authors. There's this quest and this really thirst for me to keep learning. And I think what's fascinating, the hardest part with the book was finding the 12. Because I'm like, they're all really good. And I want to throw this out to your listening audience is that I believe that because I give them this term trailblazers, that we're all trailblazers. We all have this in us. So these traits, these common things that they share, we have them. We use some of them to be more successful, and some of them we forget to do. So this to me was a discovery of not only how do they achieve massive amounts of success on the surface, but more importantly, Shelley, what they do when they weren't on Oprah, when they weren't a New York Times bestseller, when they didn't win the Stanley Cup. What about all those years in obscurity and failure and broken relationships and things that couldn't work, but all of a sudden they just kept pushing on and on? How'd they do it? Because now they're all over the news in many positive ways, but what happened those 9-10 years before they were famous?
Well, you probably gave away one of the hints, pushing on, right?
There
you are. Well, lots to talk about in our time together, but I want to get right into continuing the topic of what a trailblazer is, and then obviously get to your examples. You shared 7 key characteristics of a trailblazer. Let's go back and forth on this. Intense curiosity is one of the key characteristics?
Very true. Almost like a small child. If you look at children, they have a quest to always ask questions from us. And I think what happens is we get older, we're creatures of habit. And really the book is also a big collection of great stories of oftentimes things I pull out of them when I interview them. Oftentimes I'm interviewing, like today I'm being interviewed, I flip it around back on them. In the entire interview, you know this because you're a pro, is you make it about them, you do your homework, and you ask a question or two, not to throw them, but have them go, that's unique. Because when they do the media tours, they get the same questions over and over and over. So the spontaneous questions that we record oftentimes have this huge like wow effect when people hear it.
Persistence makes for a trailblazer, Tony, I understand. This must go back to that pushing on comment.
Very true. I think of the top 2 things you see of the 7 is they have to have that persistence. When you're a head coach of an NHL team, one of the trailblazers is Dan Bylsma, and I interviewed him, it was almost 9-10 years back when he had just won the Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh. And I caught him about probably 2 weeks before training camp. And ironically, you look at his career, he's been very successful, NHL player, head coach. But a few years later, Pittsburgh let him go, along with the entire front office. So he was the king of the world in hockey, won the Stanley Cup. And 3 or 4 years later, he was let go with the whole front office. He then went on to be a head coach for the Buffalo Sabres for a couple seasons. But being an NHL or any major league sport coach, you've got armies of people trying to take you out, from fans to like entire media corps that travel, watching every word you say. And figure this one out. I know we have a lot of West Michigan folks here listening. Yep. And he just got hired to be an assistant head coach for the Red Wings. Yes, he's finally on the right team. So very exciting to hear the news about that. But that shows you some of the contrast and the persistence that you have to have.
Again, going through these characteristics of a trailblazer, how about vision? Where does vision play its role?
Well, if you look at all the more known trailblazers, per se, look at Steve Jobs, who passed away. to some of the leaders like Jeff Bezos and Amazon. They are doing things that initially 10, 20 years ago were almost like frowned upon, laughed at. The board of directors were like, you're crazy. There's a lot of skepticism. They're like, no, I see something you don't. And they stick to that vision, Shelley. Even there's their closest allies, the board of directors, some of their key people go, you're kind of crazy. We'll try this. That vision is not often easily sold. And there's usually a lot of what I call snipers trying to take them out. Some are much more vocal, could be shareholders. Some could be fans that are like, hey, we don't like the direction you went. But they're constantly saying, look, this has got to be done sort of like Sinatra, my way. And they're good at building sometimes consensus, but there's other times they're like the Lone Ranger out there with this crazy idea that all of a sudden when it works, everyone's like, oh, they're the greatest. But there are 6 or 7 years of obscurity and a lot of people saying it can't be done.
Again, Tony Wroblewski, his book is out talking about trailblazers, intense curiosity, persistence, vision, lifelong learners, problem solvers. Let's stop it. Focus on their strengths.
This is a unique one, Shelley, and thank you for bringing it up. I rarely get asked that question, but typically what happens, for example, as a writer, we get Amazon reviews. And it's human nature that you might have 30 or 40 good reviews and you get that one zinger, that keyboard cowboy, he or she could be hiding out in Alberta, Canada, that gives you a negative review. And you go, oh my gosh, and you fixate all your energy on that. The other 29 reviews are solid and they're giving you clues of what you're doing right. So a lot of these trailblazers take their core gifts and they really own them, they hone them, and they keep refining them constantly, and they don't get complacent. So I think it's one of the contrary, because we're often told, well, we got to keep improving here and here. We often focus on the wrong points. So if I know, for example, that maybe accounting is not my strong suit, I should not be spending all day trying to learn accounting. I'm sorry. I need to hire someone to help me do that. Doesn't mean I ignore accounting. It's an important function. But if my core gift is to teach and to write, I need to be spending more time there on my strengths, not worrying about accounting all day long. So interesting example.
Where does thick skin play its role as your seventh key?
You know, I've often said that number two, the second trait is persistence, and seven is thick skin. It's almost like the cousin. Thick skin to me, especially in the age of social media and in our cell phones and everyone's on their phone, is you've got to be very doggedly relentless with your mission, your goal, your idea, your dream. I know we have nonprofits that listen. I work with United Way, for example, with their executives. And a lot of times they're like, look, you know, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a marketing person. I'm saying, well, if you have an idea or a fundraising drive, you're trying to recruit members or volunteers or do a pledge, you've got to have thick skin to go out and do it. And you have to sell that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're going to always have people that don't always get on board. All these trailblazers, often for many years in obscurity, the red carpet was not rolled out. Matter of fact, they were laughed at. And sometimes their closest, what you would think, family and friends didn't turn on them, but they often misunderstood them. They thought, I don't know if I get on with this. It, you know, what you're doing is a little dangerous. It's not safe. It's not normal. But I want everyone that's listening to just throw this out. I'm pretty confident, as much as I teach and listen to groups around the world, everyone's got a dream or two that they buried. They let it go. Maybe they were 18, maybe they were 25, maybe they were 40. They were told no, and they put that dream on the shelf, or they have an idea for a business, and they were mocked, they were laughed at, maybe they got busy with children or life or a divorce or something. But go back and look at, if your life clock is short and it's burning quickly, there's no timeouts, revisit and say, you know what, maybe I take that off the shelf, or maybe I wanted to be, you know, a runner in college, but I quit running when I was 20. Maybe say, you know what, maybe I start with a 5K in the spring. And you dust off those old running shoes, and you maybe look at a YouTube video, you hire a coach, but you start going towards something that's driven for you, that you're into, not what society tells you, you should go to school and be this or that or that. We have that little seven-year-old in us that we suppress. And my kids are like, yeah, sometimes dad is a little kid. I don't want to ever lose that. That curiosity, that spark, because again, those that are out there blazing a trail are very unique, that they say, you know what, in spite of what you tell me, I'm still going to do certain things.
Again, life is short. Fill it up with trailblazing, and by getting obviously hints from those who have you've chatted with. 13 such in your book, Trailblazers. You mentioned Dan Bylsma. Go ahead and pick another or two to share how you share their trailblazing power.
I'm going to give you one that's a little unique, because oftentimes I'm speaking to corporate groups and associations around the world. One is by the name of W.M. Paul Young. He wrote a book called The Shack. It became a major motion picture last spring. I call him the spiritual trailblazer. W.M. Paul Young, the story behind that story is fascinating. I read the book probably 8 or 9 years ago at an interesting point in life where I was in a valley. As Seth Godin, another trailblazer, calls it, you're in the dip. You're in kind of a dark spot. And the book spoke to me because it's a book about tragedy turning into triumph. It's a book about God. And sometimes when you bring that up in corporate groups, they're like, wait a minute, we didn't bring you in to talk about this. Mm. So what I threw him in there for was because the interview was probably one of the more powerful, memorable interviews I've ever done. The man was so humble, so shocked by his success, that when he self-published the book, he did it more of as a gift for his 50th birthday to his six children. They were dead broke. Him and his wife were working 2-3 jobs up in Oregon, and he did, basically made 10 photocopies of the original manuscript. He went and gave it to his kids. He had almost no money to make the photocopies, and someone at Christmas time slipped a $100 bill in an envelope under their door because they felt bad for him. That's what he made the original manuscript copies with. Then the next couple years, he self-published it. A publisher wouldn't touch it. Then it started to sell thousands and thousands of copies. It got picked up, and now I haven't, the last count I knew was about 20 million copies in print. That's astronomically high for any author. That's like the the numbers you pray for. It's like if Oprah called you or Ellen said, hey, come on, and all of a sudden your numbers go up. But the story behind it, he's still very humble. And he gave a piece of advice that I share a lot with not only my family but clients, is learn to stay inside the grace of just one day. And I sometimes get so busy, you understand, you're out there, go, 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 that it's contrary, but this world is sped up. It's distracted. It's very loud. It's very noisy. And to step back and say, whoa, let's look at this one day at a time, is very powerful, unique, and sage advice. So I've got to give him credit, because that guy, you never would have thought that book would have broke through, but word of mouth propelled it, and the story is that good that obviously it became a major motion picture.
Yes. Tony, would you talk a little bit about Chapter 10, Sally Hogshead, A Fascination Trailblazer?
Sally is awesome. She's got a couple of books out, and I was exposed to her work through another trailblazer by the name of Dan Kenny. It's called How to Fascinate, was one of her first New York Times bestsellers. And How the World Sees You was her follow-up book. And what I love about Sally is she's got the data. She worked in the big advertising world for many years. She knows how to persuade or capture attention. And I've interviewed her a couple of times, and she just has this energy about her. She's a great storyteller. But what's unique out of all the trailblazers, she has the data when she does these personality traits to identify what your core strengths are. The data is unbelievable. So she doesn't just talk the game. She has the data to back it up. And her big point is, if you don't fascinate very quickly, we have a 9-second attention span, almost like a fish in a fishbowl. And I think a lot of her core message resonates with what I've been sharing for many years, is how do you get mind capture attention? So there's almost like this bond of her way of positioning the attention problem, and her, she had the data to back it up. So her stuff is not easy to go through, but it's extremely relevant today when we've got, you know, everyone's got a cell phone. I'm pointing at my cell phone here in the studio. We've all got the thing going off. We've got our computers going off. We got distraction at every turn. And she really shows you, how do you navigate or fascinate in this 9-second attention world?
Again, talking trailblazers, leadership lessons from 12 pioneers who beat the odds and influenced millions. Tony Wrubleski in the house. You've caught his work, I'm sure, with Mind Capture and more. Tony, I guess we'll drop a name. John Stossel is one of your...
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If you're over 40, you probably remember him from a show called 2020. Yeah. He was on ABC. He's won multiple Emmys. He's a trailblazer like you in your industry. But he started ABC in his 20s, working with Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs on Friday nights. I remember as a high school student watching that. And at one point, there was 30 to 40 million people on any given Friday that were watching that. What's interesting about Stossel is he switched over to Fox. So he switched completely different type of newsroom and formats and was able to successfully transition over. I was always amazed when I interviewed him and watched him was he's very libertarian. Like, he questions everything. And to not give away the whole chapter when we interviewed him at the interview, but I said, when did you transition? He said, well, in my 20s, paraphrasing him here. He said, well, I started to question everything. And my far, left-leaning viewpoint, very, liberal Ivy League college, I think he went to Princeton. He said, I kind of broke out of the box and just started to reevaluate. And I remember there were certain nights on 2020, Shelley, that it looked like they wanted to hit him. Like, what is he doing asking all these questions? So there's the intense curiosity factor. The other thing that's not known about Stossel is that he has a stuttering problem. And I can't imagine. You and I are on air, we're in front of live groups, having a stuttering problem in front of 40 million people on live television. So I give him a lot of kudos. Like, the book has a lot of stories behind the stories that you may not ever hear. Now, in the age of Google, things have opened up. You can find things. But I always try to drive out the deeper core of, not that just because they're successful now, but what were some of the fears they had along the way that could have stopped most people? And they just said, I'm going to keep going. You know, that thick skin, that intense curiosity, that persistence, they're asking questions. And Stassi was probably one of the more well-known figures. I think on Fox, his numbers are about 8 to 10 million per week. So you figure in the age of fragmented media, that's a huge audience that he influences.
Awesome. Couple minutes left, Tony. Was there something in common as we start to think about, well, I want to be a trailblazer. I mean, you have to walk the talk and act the act, but was there something really in common that you found from everyone that you interviewed or most of them?
I think amongst the seven, there's two things. Okay. Yep. If I had to have an eighth bonus one, maybe this is book volume two down the road. Yep. They're master salespeople. They know how to get their idea, and they know what they have to very much present and sell the idea. So that's not often sexy in culture. People think, well, I'm an accountant, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I don't sell. Sorry. Everyone is selling, Shelley. You and I know that. You interview some of the best newsmakers out there in a variety of fields. They're very compelling because if they don't believe in it, how can you enlist other people to help you? So that's one trait. The other thing that I found, and this is very, very frustrating, I want to throw it out there, is they don't sell themselves short. Everyone listening right now, if I had one thing I said, give me one piece of advice, or if we're having a cup of coffee, please stop selling your ideas short. Because you get one or two negative comments on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or YouTube comments, and people shut the idea or the genius down. I'm saying, look, stop doing that. Persist onward. Expect there's going to be some arrows. You're going to hit resistance. The red carpet won't roll out until maybe the idea is in play. But you've got genius in you. Every human has it. And there's many other interviews that aren't in the book because we can only get 12 plus a bonus trailblazer that the common threads are they're like, look, at some point they go, I've had enough. I'm going forward.
Yes. And again, full circle back to those characteristics of a trailblazer, intense curiosity, persistence, vision, .. All right. I know you're a big believer in the power of positive thinking and a believer in your community, Tony. So you'll be out and about, I'm sure, sharing your good words.
Yeah, thank you. We're doing a U.S. tour starting next month into most of 19, and it's aggressive, 50 cities. Coffee, airplane, prayer, and a good team around me working when I'm out in the field. So very, very excited. And Shelley, thank you again, because, you know, there's a lot of other people out there promoting books. And yeah, by choice, why not, if the life, the dash we have is short, look at the positive plane. I'll take a kind of a fun little jab out there. There's a gal named Omarosa running around. I'm the anti-Omarosa interview. And it doesn't mean I'm judging her or dislike Omarosa. I disagree with her philosophy that, you know what, there's a lot of good things going on. And why don't we talk about that more? So when I get the honor to come on your show or an ABC affiliate or an online, I'm grateful that they'll talk about some of the cool things that are going on. Because life has got millions of more amazing moments per day than what we see on the headlines typically. So I'm out to kind of say, hey, let's look at the light here and not maybe the darkness.
I love it. Trailblazers by you, Tony Rubleski. Leadership lessons from 12 pioneers who beat the odds and influenced millions. How do we find out more information?
Well, thank you. Real easy. You can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. We're doing pre-orders right now. September 4th, we ship. So you can go to MindCaptureBook.com as well if you want to get some bonuses. There's a little welcome video. We get pre-orders coming in. So MindCaptureBook.com. We take you over to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books a Million. So thank you for letting me plug that.
Great. Thanks. Enjoy your tour and get that positive message out. Take care, Tony.
Thank you so much.